Scientists at the Institute for Creation Research have uncovered astonishing evidence that refutes the evolutionary belief of an old Earth. What is this incredible evidence, and how was it discovered?
God speeded up the rate of nuclear decay. That's about the only rational explanation.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien with the Institute for Creation Research. Thank you for joining us for part two of a special five-part series on radioisotopes and the age of the Earth. As mentioned in part one, seven PhD creation scientists spent 8 years researching and discovering evidence that supports the biblical teaching of a young Earth. Stay with us for the next 15 minutes as we learn about the remarkable scientific findings of the RATE team and focus on one of several pieces of evidence that calls into question the accepted evolutionary billions of years age idea. By measuring the amounts of the different products of radioactive decay in rocks, and by investigating radioisotope dating methods, creation scientists have discovered that a process called accelerated nuclear decay had to have occurred. This simply means that the rate at which elements decay in rocks was sped up in the past, making it much faster than it is now. In order to recognize this as powerful evidence for a young Earth, we'll need to discover how the scientists came to this conclusion. On today's program, we'll learn about accelerated nuclear decay by looking at helium in zircon crystals found within granite rock. Because helium is a slippery gas that can easily escape its enclosure, there shouldn't be any left in rocks if the Earth is indeed billions of years old. However, helium is still slipping out of granites today. But why is helium in zircon crystals in the first place? And why does it diffuse or leak out of the rocks? Well, Dr. Russ Humphreys is an ICR physicist and the RATE team member who researched this matter. He explains the composition of granite rock.
Everybody's seen a piece of granite with black flecks of shiny mica in it. Those little flecks are called biotite, and it's one of the types of mica. And in the mica, if you look under a microscope, you'll see small crystals embedded in the mica, and those are called zircons. That's zirconium silicate, and zircons are radioactive. When they form, when the rock is molten, as the crystals are forming, the zircon grabs up uranium atoms, and then after it solidifies, the uranium atoms decay, and they decay down to lead through various steps.
And when the uranium atoms decay, they produce so-called daughter products. This means they decay into other elements, such as lead and helium.
As they decay, they emit alpha particles, which are the nuclei of helium atoms. And for the size crystals we were looking at, which was about 50 millionths of a meter long, about 50 germ lengths long, a lot of the alpha particles will stay in the crystals, and they'll grab two electrons and become helium atoms. And helium is a chemically slippery atom. It doesn't attach itself to other atoms, and it can wiggle its way right through the lattice of atoms in a crystal and out of the crystal. And in most materials, it does this fairly quickly.
Because the scientists needed to find out the rate at which helium escapes from the granites, they obtained crystals from granite rocks buried deep under the hot, dry New Mexico ground. Then, utilizing facts previously established by another creation scientist, Dr. Humphreys calculated the rate of helium diffusion.
Robert Gentry, about 20 years ago, reported that those particular rocks had crystals in them of zircon with up to 58% of the helium that would have been produced in that 1.5 billion years. And we thought, well, that's a rather large amount of helium because helium should have leaked out of it much before that. But we didn't know of any measurements of how fast helium leaks out of zircons.
Using Gentry's measurements, Dr. Humphreys predicted that the helium which had escaped the crystals had done so in only 6,000 years. This prediction was then published in the RATE Committee's first book in the year 2000. But predictions aren't enough. In order to measure the amount of helium diffusion and discover the age of the rocks, the zircon crystals were sent off to a laboratory.
We commissioned an experiment by the world's best, or at least one of the world's best experimenters in this field. He's an evolutionist, a uniformitarian. He believes in the billions of years. And so we did it through an intermediary, a mining company, and they didn't tell, according to our instructions, they didn't tell the experimenter what our project was and what results we hoped for. And he got numbers that were right on our 6,000-year prediction. So the data amount to a leak rate date on the same zircons that have a uranium lead date of 1.5 billion years. And the leak rate date is 6,000 years plus or minus 2,000. There are errors in our measurement, and they amount to plus or minus 2,000 years on our measurement. But that is far short of 1.5 billion years. It's a huge difference. So we have two ways of dating these zircons, one by leak rate, helium leak rate, and the other by uranium to lead decay. And they give drastically different dates.
So the uranium to lead dating method puts the rocks at 1.5 billion years old, while measuring the rate of helium diffusion dates the rocks at about 6,000 years. RATE project manager Dr. Larry Vardaman says because of the helium diffusion date, the 1.5 billion year age for this granite can't be true. He also points to the fact that although their time frame measurements are radically different, the lead and helium in the rocks are the same age.
This helium was also produced at the same time that the lead that is found in the rocks was produced. However, the helium is a gas as opposed to lead, which is a solid material. The lead doesn't get out of the rock very fast, but the helium can escape very, very rapidly, on the order of thousands of years. So that if, in fact, the helium has been produced by the decay of uranium-238 over millions or billions of years, and it can escape in the matter of just a few thousand years, the helium shouldn't be there. It should have all been diffused out of the rock. And yet the helium, by and large, is still there.
So what is the evidence of rapid helium diffusion telling us? Dr. Humphreys explains.
Let's summarize what it's saying. It's saying that somehow we had enough helium produced that you would ordinarily get in 1.5 billion years. We had that much helium produced by nuclear decay. So we had 1.5 billion years worth of nuclear decay, but it occurred in less than 6,000 years ago. What that points to us is that God speeded up the rate of nuclear decay. And that's about the only rational explanation of those two sets of data.
And so we see how accelerated nuclear decay is tremendous evidence for a young Earth. But what does it mean when creation scientists refer to 1.5 billion years worth of decay happening in less than 6,000 years? Well, they're not agreeing with evolutionary dating techniques which claim the Earth to be billions of years old. But what they are saying is that these granite rocks appear to be ancient because of accelerated nuclear decay. Thus, a rock that may date billions of years is really only 6,000 years old. This is known as the appearance of age. ICR geologist and RATE team member, Dr. Andrew Snelling.
So if you've got a lot of nuclear decay in this granite, but this one over here seems billions of years older than this other one, but if there was accelerated nuclear decay in this one, that's made it look old, even though it's probably only 6,000 years old. It's had 4 billion years of nuclear decay at an accelerated rate occurred in it. It looks the same as the one that's just recent, but the only difference is that it's had accelerated nuclear decay in it that made it appear old.
So it all boils down to a question of time. Is the Earth really billions of years old, or just thousands? And since time, and lots of it, is the rack on which evolution hangs its hat, showing physical evidence of a young Earth is a major step in the creation-evolution battle.
The whole point of the RATE research is if we remove that time, we cast doubt upon the millions of years, then there's no time in which evolution could ever have happened. It's hard enough trying to figure out how it happened, but if they haven't got the time to perform the miracles that they can't envisage, you know, what the miracles were, you know, life is here, therefore it must have happened by chance over millions of years. Take away the millions of years, no amount of chance will do it. And the RATE research has shown that if nuclear decay was accelerated, then you can't trust the radioisotope decay as a dating mechanism for rocks.
We've been talking about nuclear decay being accelerated in the past. But at what point in history would this rapid decay process have happened? Dr. Snelling says more than likely, this kind of geological process would have taken place during the great worldwide flood of Noah's day.
What would have been hundreds of millions of years of decay by the evolutionary understanding of the rocks happened in a year during the flood, then all that time disappears. And therefore it confirms the scriptural framework of a young earth, a catastrophic global flood, and allows no time whatsoever for any evolution to have occurred.
But if this is true, what about all the radiation that would have been released during this time? Wouldn't all of the accelerated nuclear decay have harmed life aboard the Ark during the flood? How could the passengers have been safe from the nuclear activity taking place around them?
During the flood, the rocks were covered by all that water. Water is used as a shield for decreasing the radiation, say in a power plant, nuclear power plant. So Noah's family in the Ark and the animals on the Ark would have been protected by the water covering the earth from the nuclear decay, accelerated nuclear decay that was occurring in the rocks underneath the flood waters.
We've learned how accelerated nuclear decay is exciting evidence for a young earth. But some may wonder why the RATE team worked so long and so hard in order to prove the biblical account of creation. Dr. Vardaman says, although most hardcore evolutionists will not likely change their minds, the scientific discoveries of the RATE team will build trust in Christians who are torn between trusting God or believing man.
Nothing that we do in the RATE project is going to prove the Bible. But what it does do, it gives people more confidence, particularly for people who have real serious questions in certain areas. And more people have had problems with the age of the earth because it has been stressed so strongly in science programs and in college classrooms and so on, and it is used to really hammer the Bible. So it really generates questions and doubt. And I go back to John chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, when I think about this, where Christ said, "If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" And really, that's what's going on in the Bible when God reveals his creation, which nobody was there to see except God himself, and then we're disbelieving or ignoring what God has to say. If we deny this evidence that he talks about, how can we then believe in spiritual things, which we can't see? Christ used the wind as an example of that. It goes where it wills and it listeth not. How can we believe things that we can't see, which are in the spiritual realm, when we can't even believe the things we can see?
Be sure to tune in next week as we discover more evidence for a young Earth in Part 3 of Radioisotopes and the Age of the Earth. And don't miss our special RATE conference being held in San Diego, California on Saturday, November 5th. For more information, log on to www.icr.org. You know, most people aren't aware that today there are thousands of scientists that are convinced of the truth of biblical creation and not evolution. Our non-denominational ministry aims to restore and strengthen the Genesis foundations of the Christian faith. If you've enjoyed today's edition of Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, why not visit us on the web to find out more about the work of ICR? The address is www.icr.org. Again, www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.